really start off with this part in the reading because it clearly tells us what Jesus called the disciples for. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, Jesus didn't ask his disciples or demand them to do this or force them to do this or ask them to volunteer. He called them. He called them to do this, didn't he? Well, today, the call doesn't necessarily mean what it meant when Jesus said it. The word call today is different when we use it in everyday language. Let me give you an example. If we're out and about in Gornal Village and you hear someone calling you, you may have to look around, who's calling me? Especially if you don't recognise the voice. And then if you realise who it is, you either respond and you smile and you speak to them. But if you aren't sure who's called you, what do? Do you ignore them? I'm sure you don't do that, do you? Yeah, okay. Okay, you might, okay. Now, I'm going to reveal something now. Some of you know this, but some don't. Some of you might know that I'm a twin. And everybody's thinking, not another one. And my brother and myself are considered to be identical twins. His name is Brian. Now, on many occasions, I've been out and about, and I've heard a voice. Hello, how are you? And I look round, and I see someone looking at me, and they smile and say, hi, Bri, how are you going on? How are you? So I either tell them I'm not Brian, or on occasions, I respond politely, yes, I'm fine, thanks. How are you? But I haven't got a clue where they are. So, when somebody calls you, it requires a response, doesn't it? Sometimes. I'm going to reveal something else now. I know that as a child, I often wouldn't take any notice if someone called me at home, especially I was watching TV or was I engrossed in doing something. And occasionally it happened now. And Jill's looking at me thinking, oh, here we go. I'm at home and Jill calls me and I don't respond. And then she calls again and I don't respond. And then she'll come into the room with a very deliberate look and voice. I've been calling you. I'm sure I'm not the only one it's happened to. I don't know if I'm looking at the men here, But anyway, so when we hear somebody calling us, we have a choice to respond, don't we? We either respond because we know who they are, but we are sometimes don't because we're doing something or engrossed in doing something, I don't know, or we don't hear them. Now, when Jesus calls us to do something, we have a choice, don't we? We can either respond to his call or we don't. You see, Jesus doesn't demand that we respond to him because he gives us free will. He gives us a choice what we should do. Which is really important if we think about it. Now, when Jesus called the disciples, how do you think they responded? Well, the Gospels suggest that they responded without hesitation. Although there may have been some trepidation and doubt and concern in their minds about what Jesus had called them to do. So the question is this. How do we respond when Jesus calls us? How How does he call us? Well, let me give you an example. Maybe that out of nowhere, we have a thought come into our mind that Jesus is saying something to us. He's calling us. He's calling us to do something. And it travels down into our gut. And you feel uneasy. And then he pierces our heart. And it won't go away. Do you ignore him or do you respond? Now, for many, the answer may be quite easy. We might think, yes, I would respond because I'm excited and full of joy that Jesus is calling me. I know he's telling me something. But I also think that for some, including me at times, we ignore Jesus. We ignore him perhaps because we try and deny that the call is coming from him. And we think, oh, it's just our thoughts going through our head. Or maybe we feel confused. Or we feel we are fearful of the task he's calling us to do. Well, let me tell you something. Because I want to reassure you this morning that when Jesus calls us, he wants to explain to us what we're required to do and what he wants us to do and why. But there's three things as well that Jesus does when he calls us. Firstly, Jesus is specific in his call because he explains what we are required to do and why he wants us to do it. Secondly, Jesus gives his authority. He gives us his authority to do what he's called us to do. Because when he calls us, he gives us the authority and the power to do this in his name. And thirdly, Jesus equips us. He equips us to carry out the call because he ensures us that we are to do the task that he asks of us to do. Now, so let us look at the first thing, that Jesus is specific in his call to his disciples. Well, we see in Matthew that Jesus tells his disciples that he needs what he needs them to do, and he explains why he needs his disciples to carry on with his mission. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, he says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You see, Jesus looked at the crowds with great compassion and saw that they needed help. He also recognized that the people were ripe for the harvest, as many were already prepared to follow him and give their lives to him. But they needed someone or some people to show them how. And I say this because Jesus couldn't do it all. And he also knew he wasn't going to be around forever. He was going to be crucified. And he wanted to prepare the disciples to do this. So Jesus made it clear to them what their task was and why. Now, this sort of thing wasn't new to God, because God used to do this all the time. We look at the Old Testament, and God, when God called his people, from Moses, Abraham, Noah, Jonah, and lots of different prophets. Throughout, God spoke to people and called them to carry out his tasks. And in each call, he would be specific in what he wanted them to do and why they were to do it. So when Jesus called his disciples, we can see that there was no misunderstandings. There was no confusion what they were required to do and why they needed to do it. And this will be made clearer as we consider this further. But I want us to go to our second item. And the second thing was, when Jesus calls his disciples, he gave them his authority to carry out their call. So how did he do this? Well, we find this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Well, it's actually from chapter 10, verse 5 to 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter the town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of God has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, when I read this, something came to me, especially at the end of it, when he says, freely you receive, freely give. What does that mean? Does it mean that you've been following me and you've received all that I've been doing over the last 3 years? So you need to give this to other people? Or is he really saying, you have been really, freely been given me? Jesus, you are to be given me in your heart and in your life, and I'll be dying for you. So, isn't it right that you should give this to other people? Show them what they're doing. Show them what they can have. You can see that Jesus was absolutely clear with his instructions. There was no doubt that the disciples couldn't be confused in any way, because Jesus had called them to do this. But in those instructions, he assured the disciples that they had the authority to carry out this call. Now, in any call from Jesus, his authority is crucial. For we know that without his authority, any response to his call would seem to be worthless. And you know, the disciples knew this. And you know, we can see this in the disciples' response before, during, and after Jesus' death and resurrection. You see, the Gospels tell us that Jesus had called his disciples to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, heal people and cast out demons, just as Jesus had been doing all through his ministry, because he wanted them to follow in his footsteps. He wanted them to continue the work. And we know that when they were doing it, there was no fear, there was no confusion to be able to do this. Well, why was this? Well, we are told that he had given him their authority, Jesus had given them his authority, but also he would also be near to support them and encourage them, to guide them. Now, in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, he tells us that Jesus had appointed 72 to carry out his work and sent them onwards before him. Now, this would tell us that although Jesus had given them his authority, he was still around to support and guide and encourage them. But look what happened when Jesus was tortured, beaten, crucified. We know, don't we, that his disciples fled into hiding out of fear for their own safety. They were distraught. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. You see, their faith and authority in Jesus had vanished. And they felt totally alone. It seems that despite the miracles they had been carrying out in Jesus' name, it seemed like a dream. And they now stood alone, and it didn't seem to mean anything. You see, for the disciples, the death of Jesus resulted in their loss of faith, and they no longer felt that they had his authority in what they were supposed to do. They no longer felt that they could carry out his mission that they've been called to do. But all this changed, didn't it? This changed when Jesus came back to life on the third day and revealed himself to his disciples. And then at Pentecost, they received his Holy Spirit. They received the authority of Jesus. The authority of Jesus was restored. Not through his physical presence, but through his spiritual presence in their hearts. In this we saw an astonishing change in the disciples, in their work and in their mission. Their fear and confusion that they had when Jesus died had gone, and they presented the gospel throughout the known world. But you know something? Today, this hasn't changed. This hasn't changed. Because when we are called by Jesus, we too receive his authority to carry out his call through his Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing Jesus does when he calls us, he equips his disciples to carry out their call. But just as he equips his disciples, he equips also us today to carry out his call too. So ensuring that we too are able to do the task that he's asked us to do. You know, when Jesus approached Peter, Andrew, James and John to follow him, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said this to them, "Follow me and I shall make you fishers of men." Now, they were possibly the oddest and inappropriate people to be chosen by Jesus. But then he can look at us, can't he? We can look at ourselves and probably think the same. After all, they were fishermen. They'd been fishermen all their lives. It would seem that their personalities and skills as fishermen doesn't exactly go along with what is expected of someone who is called to preach the gospel or to be a disciple of Jesus. Today, if you went for a job, we'd have to provide a CV of our experience, wouldn't we? We may also have to do a test and an interview to see if we were most suited for the job. Yet when we are called by Jesus, we don't apply for a calling. Jesus gives us this calling. He doesn't look at whether we can do the job or not. You see, when we are chosen by God, we are chosen not necessarily for whom we are at that moment, but for whom we can be for God. And this is, there's a saying, isn't there? Jesus doesn't call the qualified, but qualifies the called. Thank goodness he does that. You see, when the disciples followed Jesus, they spent the next 3 years with him, who changed them from fishermen to fishers of men. They became equipped by Jesus. But how did this happen? Well, firstly, by following his teachings. You know, the disciples heard Jesus talking to the people, and during their time with him, they probably had lots of conversations with him too. So they learned and began to know his teachings. Secondly, they watched how Jesus behaved, how he responded towards people. The disciples saw how he behaved, how he approached people, and how he answered their questions, and how he healed people. And thirdly, they were taught how to pray. You see, prayer enabled them to intercede with God and be assured that their calling was being undertaken with his authority and power. And then during their time with him, they tried to become more like Jesus. They wanted to be like Jesus. We know that the word disciple means student, who is a learner. So all the time they were with him, the disciples were being taught by Jesus. So when the time came for Jesus to call them to mission, they were ready to carry this out. But you know, the learning and the training didn't stop there. It continued on the job, so to speak. And you know, this is seen in Matthew and Mark's gospel. Both recorded the same incident in which the disciples were unable to heal a young boy who was possessed by a demon. Now, both gospel writers tell us that Jesus was following behind. And when he got there, he tried to calm down the crowds because they were getting frustrated with the disciples. After all, there hadn't been a problem with the disciples healing someone. Because, and by this time, they were getting a reputation. But as Jesus followed behind and came and saw what the position was, he dealt with the situation. And he healed the boy to the great relief of his parents and the crowd. But you know, later the disciples asked Jesus, why were they unable to heal the boy? And Jesus' response is recorded by both Matthew and Mark, but in different ways. In Matthew, you see, Jesus responded to them by saying, you couldn't heal the boy because you had so little faith. But in Mark, Jesus' response was, you couldn't heal the boy because this kind of thing can only come by prayer. Two important elements of being called. So both responses provided the disciples with an understanding of what they had lacked at that time. And Jesus had to remind them that being able to heal is one thing, but throughout your calling, you need to maintain your faith and you need to pray. It's almost as if the disciples had stopped relying on God and began to rely on their own efforts to carry out their calling. And that's something all of us who are called are aware of. We're aware of it all the time, that it is only the power of Jesus that we are called. It is only through the power of Jesus that we can do what we are called to do. You know, throughout all those, all the time he had with his disciples, Jesus never stopped teaching. He never stopped encouraging them. He never stopped trying to equip them for the job he had called them to do. And today, Jesus equips us when we are called to do the job that he wants us to do. Because he equips us when we read the Bible and we look at Jesus' teachings so we can be more like him. We respond through faith and prayer, listening and responding to his guidance as he encourages us and reassures us in his path. And you know, then we are taught by Jesus, not through his physical presence, like his disciples were, but through the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives as he speaks to us and gives us confidence to carry out the calling he wants us to do in his authority. So ask yourselves this morning, are you listening to God's call? What is he calling you to do? Are you responding to his call? Do you know, being called by God is a privilege. And in taking up his call, you can be assured that he is with you throughout, supporting you, equipping you, encouraging you. You know, when we are called by God, he doesn't discriminate against age or experience. You may feel that you've done your bit. So why is God calling you to take on something else? It's a clear blessing when we are called. Or maybe you think that you are too young, or you don't have any experience, but God is still putting thoughts into your heart. There may be needs in our church today that has been brought to your attention. Well, I know there are needs today in this church. There are positions that need to be filled. And yesterday, some of us met to explore how we can move forward to carry out his work. What is God saying to us in our hearts? There were discussions and lots of thoughts how we feel and how we can move forward in doing God's work. Dave Gill last week mentioned some of the things, didn't he, for those who were here, that were discussed. So if you wish to know more, then talk to us. It may be that God is telling you that he would like you to take up a position in this church. Or he is telling you how we as a church should be moving. But don't keep it to yourself. Tell us what God is saying to you. Do you know, God's work never stops. And he's calling on each and every one of us to respond to him. Now, what is your response going to be? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, loving God, we come before you as a church family wanting to serve you. And we pray that we are open to your calling. We know, Lord, that at times our distractions can affect our commitment to you. But we know that through your Holy Spirit in our lives, we can overcome all that is placed before us. We pray that we know that when you call us, you are there to support, encourage, and equip us for what you call us to do as a church and individually. So now we come before you with our hearts open, listening to your voice and guidance. Thank you, Lord. Amen.